Today we're going back exactly 60 years to one of the worst environmental disasters in the history of London, the Great Smog of 1952.
It's December the 5th, 1952, and London is covered in the thickest fog in living memory. Thirteen-year-old Rosemary Merritt is at school in Downham in the southeast of the city.
The fog started to come over and teachers got worried, so they sent us home at lunchtime. I got indoors and the fog just descended. It was sort of a dark yellow, very dark yellow black, and it was just, by that time, very, very thick. You couldn't see our front gate. You couldn't even see our front garden. Absolutely horrid.
The city's skies were filled with the fumes from power stations and the coal fires which still burned in millions of London homes. In winter, the atmospheric conditions could trap this poisonous air. 30 miles wide, the smog of December 1952 was the worst ever. The weekend's football matches were called off. Theatres and cinemas closed as the filth crept into buildings. The transport system began to break down. Unable to see more than a metre or so in front of them, Londoners were getting lost in their own city. Rosemary Merritt's father worked for one of the London bus companies.
My father had to come home from work, so my mother was really worried because they'd stopped all the buses and he had to walk. Must have taken him an hour and a half, probably at least. He had tendency to bronchitis in the winters, so when he arrived home, he was quite out of breath because by then the fog was black. I was a bit worried about him because he was not at all well. He was not breathing very well and coughing quite a lot. We went to bed and in the middle of the night, my father had been taken worse. They sent for the doctor, but of course the doctor couldn't get to us because this fog was just so thick. There was no transport at all.
The best the doctor could do was to prescribe medicine for her father's heart. As the oldest child, Rosemary went with her mother to collect the pills from the local surgery. Some of the neighbours looked after her father.
We walked up the garden path because you just couldn't see the pavement on the other side. You couldn't even see the curbs. And we got to the doctor's eventually, picked up this tablet, came back home.
Official figures later showed there were at least 4,700 excess deaths during the 5 days of the London smog. Dr. Robert Waller worked at St. Bartholomew's Hospital.
It was the combination of coal smoke with sulphur dioxide. People were dying in their homes and in the hospitals. They were mainly elderly people with existing cardiorespiratory disease. No one realised at the time that the numbers of deaths were increasing. One of the first indications that things were happening was that undertakers were running out of coffins. Florists were running out of flowers.
And how did the family cope afterwards, after losing your dad?
Well, my mum had to start work, but we managed, and my grandparents were very good. But obviously we didn't have the same standard of living at all.
After the smog cleared, the British government finally took action to tackle London's pollution. In 1956, it introduced the Clean Air Act, which got rid of smog by creating smoke-free zones in the city.
Now, listen again.
Today we're going back exactly 60 years to one of the worst environmental disasters in the history of London, the Great Smog of 1952.
It's December the 5th, 1952, and London is covered in the thickest fog in living memory. Thirteen-year-old Rosemary Merritt is at school in Downham in the southeast of the city.
The fog started to come over and teachers got worried, so they sent us home at lunchtime. I got indoors and the fog just descended. It was sort of a dark yellow, very dark yellow black, and it was just, by that time, very, very thick. You couldn't see our front gate. You couldn't even see our front garden. Absolutely horrid.
The city's skies were filled with the fumes from power stations and the coal fires which still burned in millions of London homes. In winter, the atmospheric conditions could trap this poisonous air. 30 miles wide, the smog of December 1952 was the worst ever. The weekend's football matches were called off. Theatres and cinemas closed as the filth crept into buildings. The transport system began to break down. Unable to see more than a metre or so in front of them, Londoners were getting lost in their own city. Rosemary Merritt's father worked for one of the London bus companies.
My father had to come home from work, so my mother was really worried because they'd stopped all the buses and he had to walk. Must have taken him an hour and a half, probably at least. He had tendency to bronchitis in the winters, so when he arrived home, he was quite out of breath because by then the fog was black. I was a bit worried about him because he was not at all well. He was not breathing very well and coughing quite a lot. We went to bed, and in the middle of the night, my father had been taken worse. They sent for the doctor, but of course the doctor couldn't get to us because this fog was just so thick. There was no transport at all.
The best the doctor could do was to prescribe medicine for her father's heart. As the oldest child, Rosemary went with her mother to collect the pills from the local surgery. Some of the neighbours looked after her father.
We walked up the garden path because you just couldn't see the pavement on the other side. You couldn't even see the curbs. And we got to the doctor's eventually, picked up this tablet, came back home.
Official figures later showed there were at least 4,700 excess deaths during the 5 days of the London smog. Dr. Robert Waller worked at St. Bartholomew's Hospital.
It was the combination of coal smoke with sulphur dioxide. People were dying in their homes and in the hospitals. They were mainly elderly people with existing cardiorespiratory disease. No one realised at the time that the numbers of deaths were increasing. One of the first indications that things were happening was that undertakers were running out of coffins. Florists were running out of flowers.
And how did the family cope afterwards, after losing your dad?
Well, my mum had to start work, but we managed, and my grandparents were very good. But obviously we didn't have the same standard of living at all.
After the smog cleared, the British government finally took action to tackle London's pollution. In 1956, it introduced the Clean Air Act, which got rid of smog by creating smoke-free zones in the city.
This is the end of Task 2.